You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table, the number one source for all geek opinions on games, movies, and geek culture.
Hey guys, this is Darshan.
How's it going? This is Ferris.
Hey, it's Alex.
And I'm your host, Brad. And this weekend, we saw the release of Pacific Rim 2. So I think it's time we talk about movie sequels, because we've talked about a lot of movies on this show, and we've talked about movies as they've come out. Now it's time to talk about sequels in general. But moreover, we got to talk Pacific Rim 2, because Pacific Rim was a huge movie for this group. I think everybody in the group enjoyed Pacific Rim. Then we got the sequel, which is not directed and written by our Guillermo del Toro.
Say that again, Brad.
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro.
Okay, where's the W? We got our sequel.
Yes.
Per se, a sequel. His eyes were on it. It definitely said in the credits that he looked at it.
I remember that. You specifically pointed that out to me in the theater of going, oh, look, his name's on the screen. I was like, oh, yeah, it says he looked at it.
Did it literally say looked by?
Oversaw, or something. Overseen by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
He was probably a consultant, to a certain extent, to help kind of.
He got a bagel or two.
He watched the movie and went, I don't want my name in it. And they were like, oh, we'll put you in the credits as you saw it.
But it was a good one. Definitely, as a big kaiju fan, I was really excited to see this, because this is one of the first major releases of kaiju anything. Also, if you're not familiar with the word kaiju, it's just really Japanese for giant mythical monster. So Godzilla and everyone under his umbrella kind of falls into that.
Is that a real term?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kaiju, yep. It's actually like, it's just like kaiju films in general. So everything Godzilla, everything technically giant monster. King Kong technically falls under that umbrella, but he's more like an American-made thing. So that's why they were trying to make a Godzilla versus King Kong movie, because it would fall under that. And this is the first like major kaiju movie I've seen in years outside of Shin Godzilla, which also you should go see, because that's an amazing movie. And maybe we'll get a mixture of Shin Godzilla and something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was a really, really nice title. It was the first time we saw, what's his name? Come on.
John Boyega.
Yeah, John Boyega.
Oh, Finn from Star Wars?
Yeah, Finn. There we go.
Yeah.
John Boyega outside of Attack the Block and Star Wars. So it was really nice to see him in this role.
Yeah, he did fairly good.
He was in Detroit last year.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the film by Catherine Bigelow, the one about the hotel massacres, the hotel murders in Detroit in like the 1960s, 1970s. Oh, yeah, okay. Riots. There you go. The Detroit riots.
Yeah.
He was in that movie.
It was
very low key, though.
Did a great job. I absolutely agree, Ferris. John Boyega did a great job. It's cool to see this actor become really mature in his roles that he's playing. I recently read a GQ article that he was in about how he sought advice from people that were previously childhood actors that are now still in the game and still acting. He was consulting and actually had pancakes or waffles with Robert Downey Jr. at his house. And it just so happens while they're eating breakfast that Orlando Bloom just walked into the house and just they started talking and giving him really sage advice on how to, mature as an actor and as a person, because
and
they themselves,
character type.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. in the past, he went through like a really recluse situation and he kind of wanted to skip that step in his career and stay on solid ground. He didn't want to kind of, be in the same situations that they were and kind of was asking advice from those guys. Hey, how can I learn from your lessons and become a better actor? And I truly saw that in this movie and I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good job,
See, I can say I thought he did a great job acting. I did not like his character in the movie at all.
Sure. Fair enough.
The whole thing of his character of being my dad's important, so I should be important too. It didn't flow very well with everything else in the movie.
It's more so I didn't like the archetype that we always get where like, oh, my dad was important. I don't want to be important like
right,
my dad.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like I didn't personally like that character. It was still cool because it showed someone molded by a world where there's really no rules that they have to abide by outside of just don't mess with the military. So I really liked like originally how they started off, and I really liked how we saw different people in that world and how they were living outside of being in the It wasn't the Peace Corps, was it? What was it called exactly? Like, I'm just going to say Jaeger Corps.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact name. But, like, it showed, like, how the world was acting around it. It kind of felt like a Fallout, like, perspective where, like, you weren't a part of Brotherhood, so you were just kind of struggling otherwise. And that's how everyone else is seeing it. It was really enjoyable to see that. I actually was surprised at how much Idris Elba got screen time in that movie. I was not expecting more than one picture of him. But they showed him quite a bit.
They showed video of him at one point, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it was video from the first movie.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and they even like referenced, you know, his, you know, cancel the apocalypse, you know, speech at least twice almost, because it was funny. Even John Boyega's character, he's like, I'm not as good at speeches as my father, and I'm probably not going to give you a big one like he did. And then he ends up giving a speech. Yeah. But like his character was referenced a lot in this movie, more than a lot. And you know, it's kind of the one thing I was weirded out by was that not weirded out, but they didn't mention Raleigh. They only name dropped him once. Like, you got Idris Elba, and then you got Mako, who was in the movie for a little bit as well. So I was surprised that they got at least more than one mention, but the main character of the movie, Raleigh, who was played by Charlie Hunnam, he just got like a simple name drop. We don't know what happened to him, ended up doing. Like, there was like almost nothing except for saying that, oh, he was a hero. Yeah, that was it.
We don't even know like that he rode in Gypsy Danger prior. Like, they even changed the name of Gypsy Danger to, what was it? It was Gypsy something else. But it's just
Gypsy
like,
Avenger.
Yeah, Avenger.
That was the second iteration,
of it. But, like, they didn't even mention who wrote it in the past, what was going on.
They didn't really mention any of the Jaegers in this one. They didn't really give backstory except for the orange one, which was, it's the fastest Jaeger ever.
They listed off all the Jaegers when, junkyard girl started walking on the deck and pointing them all out, like, oh, it's this one and it's that one. I'm pretty sure they did that on purpose because they plan on making a bunch of toys for these things. And
they
name them off. You know, they're just trying to build that franchise or whatever. Yeah. And that's totally what they were doing. But after that fact, there was like really no mentioning of like that. You know.
No, they used it like during the end fight scene. They referred to each other by whatever Jaeger they were in. But I still couldn't tell you what the names of any of those Jaegers were.
I think the one thing that was kind of like upsetting, because there was a couple things I was looking forward to in the movie, or like looking forward to make it a decent movie for me. Not saying it wasn't like a great movie or anything like that, but I didn't get the diversity that I got from the Jaegers in the first movie. Like, example, all the different Jaegers from all the different countries, I didn't get that. We only got the Jaegers from the specific one that didn't get damaged as bad.
That's okay with me. You know why? Because you got the diversity in the people, bro.
But the thing about that was that
I loved it. Brad knows. Everybody here knows. I love that diversity in movies, guys.
But at the same time, this is a robot movie. It's supposed to be robots fighting monsters.
Well, they got different robots with different powers and like swords and like guns that shoot out of their chest or like giant whatever, you know, throwing ball out of their hand and gravity guns and.
Which I don't even remember it using the wrecking ball in any.
It did.
Did it? It only used it to punch like one time. I don't remember it using it.
Everyone used their.
Oh no! The giant kaiju grabbed it and just like spun it around and like.
That's right.
Lobbed it.
Yeah. No. Was the one thing I was really looking for, because like I liked hearing the backstory of, oh, this Jaeger was one that this is one of the first ones ever created, so it still works on like a nuclear reactor and this one and that, and it's like I didn't get that. I just got that this one runs fast. Oh yeah, this one's got a chainmail hand. Like,
I think that they're trying to build more of a story behind their features and what makes them unique, but not necessarily like the history behind them. Mm-hmm. Probably because, I don't know, they're going to get killed or destroyed.
Well, yeah. And like, then also you had like – you had the diversity in cast in this movie. But like in the first movie, their Jaeger represented their country as well. So like the Russians was a – you know, Russian Jaeger kind of had like the same abilities, stuff like that. And he had the Japan who was like the – you know, the kick-ass ninja and everything else like that, you know?
So, I liked this movie. I thought it was great. It definitely was better than I expected when it came to a sequel. I didn't have much expectations walking in, to be honest with you. I wasn't really into it. I mean, I owned their first one on Blu-ray. I've seen it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. You know, Guillermo del Toro, great director, you know?
Yeah, and you can tell that his influence was there for this movie, but he wasn't a part of it.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like this movie seriously was the Power Rangers movie that should have happened but never did. And it was way better than that in a sense. You
definitely
know what I mean?
Saw more mech action.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just giant monsters and Zordons just going at it, you know?
Exactly. This movie, I liked it a lot, but there you could tell that it didn't have the flashiness of the style and the flashiness of Del Toro. Like in the first movie, when the kaijus, you had these cool, you know, flashy scenes, you know, with him picking up the buildings and using it as a sword. You know, there was almost none of that. They had some cool things like with the gravity, you know, whip that they had where they pulled the buildings down and stuff, but it didn't have that style that Del Toro had. Had everything else, you know, but. And you can tell that the key thing that was missing from this movie was Del Toro, but they did what they could, and I think that they did good enough.
Yeah, the one thing that did bother me the most, aside from the plot, was the robots didn't seem, or the Jaegers didn't seem to have weight to them. They kind of just were able to float through the air almost effortlessly. Like the orange one uses a building to catapult up. If these things had the weight that they should as a giant hunk of metal, it should have just crushed through the building, went back to the ground, and that would have been the end of that scene.
So you're saying the robot physics weren't that surreal?
Well, they seem too floaty.
Well, especially considering in the beginning of the movie, they showed that first Jaeger, and he's moving slowly like he's a gigantic towering mass of metal.
Yeah.
And he's being outdone by a smaller, more nimble Jaeger. And then all of a sudden later in the movie, since plot armor is a thing, they're moving as fast as possible in whichever way they want to.
Yeah. So it kind of had that Transformers effect where you're like, oh, yeah, that one's big and clunky and everything. Oh, that other one that's the same exact size can move like it's, you know, butter through an ocean.
It was caught me off guard is that they were trying to do a recon mission in some like Antarctic place, right? They're like some island that she sent off a message to before helicopter crashed. And they sent a Jaeger out to do a recon mission, like a giant freaking robot to do a covert operation. Isn't that going to cause like kind of like an alarming
presence? No, man, nobody's going to notice.
Yeah, nobody's going to notice a giant robot walking around looking at, you know.
Stuff.
Stuff.
Another thing, speaking of physics, they were fighting on top of ice.
Yeah. That could break, as they proved.
They did show that it could break, and they were standing really close to the points that they broke, and the Jaegers didn't fall through. And also, Jaegers can swim really well.
Like that was really in the first movie, though.
That was the first
they're
movie.
They're literally submarines. Clear.
Pretty much, yes.
So, I don't know why they just don't make them amphibious. Like, literally just that.
Yeah. I gotta
say, one other thing we, you know, did mention was technically the real bad guy of the movie, which I thought was interesting, but
It's Always Sunny guy,
yeah,
Charlie Day.
The twist, the quote unquote twist of the movie that the bad guy was really Charlie Day. You know, I mean, based off when they showed the scene when he went back home, you could kind of tell that was kind of where it was going. You know, but I mean, it was interesting having a kind of human villain this time, I guess, you know, but and we'll see how it is, especially with the end credit scene. We'll see how it goes in the third movie if it gets greenlit.
See, I didn't mind him being the villain for the movie. I didn't like his reasoning behind it, where it was like, oh, yeah, my brain got taken over by them. I would have preferred it to be something like he saw what their mission was and he supported that and wanted to, you know, bring them here and everything.
Kind of
like
a Hail Hydra kind of thing.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was at first.
Yeah, like Fletcher Allegiance.
Yeah,
but no, he had his mind or had one of them implanted inside of his mind after doing the mind meld in the first movie, and it didn't feel right as a plot point for why he was evil.
So for me, I really didn't like Charlie Day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't like him as much in the first movie, but I liked him more in the second movie.
I loved him in the first movie.
Okay, let me explain why. I understand that he was somewhat the comic relief in the situation in that movie, and that was his role, and that was what he was supposed to do, but I really couldn't take him seriously because of his, you know, past roles and, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and things like that. And I just couldn't get the character and I couldn't get the guy. But in the second movie, he kind of plays more of like a crazy, zany character.
Mad,
you know,
scientist almost.
Yeah, mad scientist.
He kind of plays the same character, though.
Yeah, he does play the same character, but he kind of goes in a crazy nut job, you know, kind of way. And I appreciated that. And I could see that him as an actor playing that role, he did it pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't see it at first, but what he evolved into in the second movie, it plays out a lot better.
And thing too, I think the plot point they worked with him just, you know, having this weird kind of love for the alien race that they were trying to fight in the first movie, I would have been okay with that not being the plot and like making that big corporation that was trying to sign that bill for the AI Jaegers to be the bad guy. Because that's really what they kind of put it off to be, is like, oh no, they got hacked. Like, I would have been okay with that being the thing. Because the whole time leading up to them saying that, I thought that old girl, she was like, everything went as planned. I didn't get attacked, because like it looked like it was all scripted. Like, she just barely got hit in all these different situations. So I was like,
yeah, yes. She was talking in a way where it's like, it actually worked out in our favor that, you know, we got attacked. And it's just like, she kind of looked like the villain at first.
Right. So I was okay with that. And then she just kind of became like some weird supporting character.
What a twist.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, after everything was revealed, she kind of took a back seat until like the very end of the movie.
Yeah, when she was,
and then
she
hopped into that little Jaeger and kicked some ass.
Like, considering the fact of how much of a purist she was, I was expecting her to be like, I don't want to get in that thing.
Yeah.
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 It was definitely a weird way to take her character from going, oh, she's very important, to, okay, back seat for a little bit, to, oh, you're going to be a supporting character. Mm-hmm. It's a part of that story flow that I didn't like with this movie. I'll say this, the action scenes are great.
Yes.
The movie looks absolutely beautiful. The plot could use some work.
Okay, man, I got to say something, and I'm going to keep coming back to it. I love the diversity in this movie.
The diversity make the plot good, though.
Here's the thing, though. We got an Asian guy. We even got an Indian guy. Okay? That's the best part of diversity.
You got an Indian guy from a 90s Pizza Hut commercial.
No, we got the kid from Ravi from the Disney Channel. Yeah. You know, he's always playing in those TV shows on the Disney Channel. That guy. He was one of the Jaeger cadets. And we got some, like, Russian girl. And that, oh, funny enough, I think one of the Asian guys was actually in the Power Rangers movie that came out last year.
I think that was the Black
Ranger. Yeah. So I was like, Rangers movie. It's even got a Power Ranger in the freaking movie. And the most hilarious about it is they call him Ranger. I heard the term Ranger like a whole bunch of times. It was kind of funny. And I really liked that there was like a whole bunch of, you know, diversity going on with that. One thing that I didn't like, but I finally got the experience for once, was that the brown kid was finally the token kid that died in the movie. Now I understand, you know,
So you're happy that the Indian guy died in the
I'm
movie?
I'm not happy. That's the thing. That's the thing. I am not happy. I was happy that he was in it, and I was super happy to see some diversity. And then I saw him die, and then it was like, God damn it, why did he have to be the token brown guy in this movie? But then I was like, oh my God, I totally understand now, you know, what happens and how it feels when somebody has to go through when the token black guy dies. And I'm just like, damn it, I feel the pain now, you know?
And here's the thing about that. So as a quick fact check, we just definitely went through and checked who was the Asian guy, a part of the Ranger Corps. He was not the Black Ranger. He was a generic Asian guy. And we just mislabeled him.
Oh, okay. That was on me.
I'm glad I didn't say it.
That was on me. It's all good, though.
But, it was a pretty decent role. I guess Darshan had an emotional moment.
Yeah.
Where he finally got someone, hey, wait, what? Why did he die? Yeah, we got that.
I was like, yes, we finally got our brown kid, and he's in the movie. Sweet. And then he's like, he had to die. Why?
Yeah, he didn't die in a good way either. Literally, no. Just, like, slapped once by a kaiju. He's dead. There was a lot of easy deaths in this movie.
I loved
with kaiju.
It. I loved yes. that. It's emotional for me. That's why that's just a plus one point right there for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was kind of sad that there was only really like the three kaiju in this movie. I was hoping that there would be more.
One kaiju?
No, there was the three one. And then they turned into the one.
Hey, they never closed the dimensional portal either, did they?
No.
No, they did.
No, they didn't.
No.
They definitely didn't close it.
Because like three of them came out of it. And then
they opened
like
a lot of them.
Yeah, and then they closed
it. Cut in half.
What's that, Alex?
I said the one that they showed, the big one, it came out and it got cut like in half, like the portal closed and it cut it in half, like when it was trying to come out. And they're like, oh, okay, they closed it. And then they were, oh no, there's really three that came out.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm wondering, did they close it? Or was it legitimately like, oh, these guys got out before it closed?
I think it was they got out before it closed.
But they probably snuck out.
I still don't understand how they opened it. Like, just all of a sudden, because these AI brains, like, they they weren't even like all of them had like a piece of kaiju in them. Like mm-hmm. they just slapped their hands together and like opened up a transmutation portal in the water. And it's like, come out, kaiju. Got you.
I think they were made with some artificial
blood. I
think yeah, it was the blood yeah. and tissue and stuff like that. So they had like, you know, artificial kaiju tissue in them mm-hmm. and they were mind controlled.
So maybe
and
they
so
just,
they were all able
knew.
To work together. They were basically drones, mm-hmm. kaiju drones,
Evangelion-esque, yeah, very much so. So
yeah, because they showed like the map of all the portals opening, and then when they shut it down, all of them closed up, and then that's when they were like three of them got through.
And I love how it's like Mount Fuji, and it's like you know the dome, the Shatter Dome is located in China, and it's Japan that's getting attacked.
Of course.
Yeah. And I really liked what you were talking about earlier, Ferris, with the whole kaiju movies in general and how my favorite part about them, especially with like Godzilla and things like that, is how the monsters crush the buildings and then the people run away as the buildings are being crushed. You know, that effect uh-huh. where the people are running. That's my favorite part. They did such a great job with that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, let's run in the way he's running too.
Yeah. Yeah. I always love what is that? The Prometheus school of running away from things.
Yes. Because it's clear to me, based on even the CGI effects in this movie, that those people would definitely not survive. And I was just like, man, they're just like knocking down buildings left and right. It's like, do they even care about the cost of construction? Is there like insurance or do I people just not care anymore?
It's the Avengers effect. Because remember how like that was actually a point in Civil War. We're like, you guys are doing too much damage. we don't have enough money for this. Like that's literally why they got in trouble. But now all of a sudden, I mean like obviously completely different franchise entirely. But like they're just smacking up buildings. Like somebody, as you said, they were doing a wall run on a building.
Yeah.
That was just blatant disregard for the building.
Oh, dude. They were
or whoever's in that building.
They're whipping out swords, right?
Like they're slashing through buildings.
And they're slashing through buildings while they're going up and approaching the monster, the kaiju.
Well, actually, it looks cool.
I don't know if you guys – I don't know if you guys noticed. Ever since Man of Steel – that backlash in Man of Steel where like it's like oh he a bunch of people got killed, like in every single movie after that there's like a throwaway line saying oh everyone's evacuated, oh this place is uninhabited, and in this movie they said oh everyone's in the emergency bunkers. We even got to see some of the people go in those emergency mm-hmm. bunkers. So I'm like, ever since Man of Steel, like I feel like all these destruction movies have to have like a throwaway line saying oh this is uninhabited, just so they don't get that stupid backlash about, you know, destruction and stuff like that. And it's just one of those weird things I've noticed ever since the whole Man of Steel debacle, whatever it was.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's kind of dumb because realistically, would you be able to get everybody in Japan in safe bunkers within 12 minutes of knowing a giant monster is coming? That's one thing that made like the Godzilla movies realistic is everybody going, oh no, we're dead.
I like how in one scene, the safety bunker in Mount Fuji like actually closed down a couple of people and like went down like halfway before the monster stepped on it, and like some of the people didn't even make it into it, and they just like the doors closed on them and just had to like run away somewhere else. So it's just like, what are you gonna do about those guys?
And the thing I don't understand either, like their safety bunker. goes into the ground. How do we know how heavy the kaiju are? How do we know we're not just sending these people to literally a death trap? Like the kaiju, what if he just steps over it? Just oh
no.
Why did we put it in the sky? So yeah, no, that was it. There was a lot of, let's say, holes in the plot of this movie because. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it was a great popcorn flick.
Yeah,
for sure.
I plan to see it again, and I definitely want to see it in Dolby Atmos because even if the movie was still like a solid like 7 or so, I still think it had great sound design. It had really great visuals, and you know, I really want to see some 4K John Boyega. You know, see some.
It was I actually saw it in Dolby Cinema, and it was worth it. It was worth the price for sure. You could definitely tell like with the how they mix their sound and everything. This movie was definitely made for Dolby Atmos, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see that. Because especially with a lot of the visuals, even in just a normal kind of theater, it looked amazing. I would love to see that in like an IMAX kind of screen mm-hmm. and see how that looks. But there is also a lot of other movie sequels, good and bad. Mm-hmm. So, kicking us off, Darshan, what are your favorite sequels?
Dude, mine... best sequels of all time. I mean, it's a lot of people's. It's Back to the Future series. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I loved about it is that Back to the Future 1 is probably one of the best, I think a lot of people could agree, one of the best complete movies that you could see from beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got it handles all the loops correctly in a lot of ways. It doesn't leave any open plot holes, but it leaves you thinking a lot, you know, about the what ifs. The funny thing about that movie, when it first came out, it wasn't originally written or intended for a sequel. It was after the movie came out in theaters and they realized it was a blockbuster hit that when it came out to VHS, when it came out on VHS, did they include the "to be continued" at the very end of the movie in the credits. So it wasn't originally intended or written to have a trilogy effect to it, but the way that they went about making it one, I thought was an amazing approach, and the way that it just connected together so well, they just did a great job, and it just made it one of my favorite movies. And my personal favorite was Back to the Future 2, because, you know, growing up as a child, you always wanted to imagine what the future is going to be like, and flying cars and, you know, hoverboards and cool shoes and jackets and a lot of things involved with it, associated with it, were really cool. And it, the funny thing is we're seeing a lot of that today. You know, a lot of those things, drones and things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of my all-time favorites. You know, you guys know as well as I do, I sometimes cosplay as Marty McFly at some of the cons. And, you know, it's just my thing, man. BTTF all the way.
What about you, Ferris?
I'm going to have to go with Terminator 2. Terminator 2. Because it, like, the thing that I always look for in, like, a sequel for it to be considered a good one, it has to have continuity. Like, it has to have... oh, yeah, these characters link up, or it will, like, go over backstory or, like, potentially something in the future, which it did. It went over the issues with why can I not remember her name right now?
Sarah Connor?
Yeah, Sarah Connor and John Connor as a kid, and, like, showing that he's trying to go back in time and get him before he was even – like, obviously in the first movie, he tried to get Sarah Connor in the first movie, so he wasn't even a thought. And now there's a second Terminator that's gone back in time to go do it because the first one couldn't, and the first Terminator's back to stop the second Terminator from killing them. It's just like, yes, I'm okay with all of this. It's confusing, but
it's a plot that shouldn't work, but it somehow does.
It literally pit two bad guys. They both have the same purpose, but this bad guy is a little too bad for the other bad guys. So we got to fix it. So yeah, like it was one of my favorite ones. And then RoboCop 2. That one's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
That's actually one movie sequel I have not seen.
RoboCop
really?
2?
RoboCop?
Right. I've seen RoboCop, and I loved it. And then I don't remember what happened, but I just never saw RoboCop 2.
Did you see RoboCop 3?
I did not.
No one should. I saw that one. Really?
It was really bad. Because RoboCop 2, they introduced, like, they got to the point where they didn't need RoboCop anymore. Like, he was, like, some washed-up cop somehow as a robot. I don't know how you get washed up and you were Detroit's finest robot cop and only.
I was going to say only.
He was replaced by a drone robot.
Yeah, replaced by this weird chicken-legged robot that... My favorite part of the movie is when they show the weakness of it because it gets tipped over and they just can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's just like this is 80s ingenuity in its finest. It's like it's just they don't understand robotics yet, so we're just going to show the most stupid weakness possible, and I loved it. So, and then that's when you got the people who like the bandits who got laser cannons. Like you could just go to Walmart and get laser cannons and take out RoboCop. It's just like what?
Is this still in Detroit?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, you know, my favorite thing about the new RoboCop movie that came out, because they did a remake.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Anyways, it was not good.
Yeah, but funny enough is where the CCPD building would be is where the old Joe Louis Arena is right now. So it's kind of funny that if they were to tear it down and build a building there, that potentially in one way or another it could, you know, be a CCPD building.
If it gets
building.
Torn down and they say this is a new Detroit police like police headquarters, like, yes,
something's
it's
going
happening.
On. Yeah.
I'm ready. I saw the movie.
I'm ready to start breaking laws.
What about you, Alex? Favorite sequel?
So for me, mine is kind of like a two-way type of thing. It's I have a favorite sequel and what I think is the best sequel. My favorite sequel, of course, is Winter Soldier, Captain America: Winter Soldier. It's one of my top favorite Marvel movies, but I believe that's just one of the ways that where you get a movie that is good, but just do everything better. I mean the themes, the balance of humor, tone. You know, seriousness, it just does everything great. And I still think that's the way that Marvel movies, or even movies in general, superhero movies in general, should be. But in my opinion, what I think the best sequel is The Godfather 2. Mainly because where the first one kind of tackled on like kind of like a kind of direct storyline, you know, with Corleone and you know, everything else like that. The second one kind of intercut like the flashbacks with how Vito Corleone kind of rose to power and kind of how it intercuts with the present time with how Michael was falling from power. Like the way they intercut, you know, both of their stories and how they're very similar, mixed in with the, you know, the very dark tone, the themes of power and everything else like that, and just the cinematography in that movie. Like the first one was fantastic. It's considered one of the greatest movies of all time, but I think that just The Godfather is just one of those rare instances where you take a movie that's perfect in almost every single way and somehow trump it, like just make it look like it never existed. And it's just one of those movies like I can just watch whenever I want and never be bored. It's just one of those things where you can just watch and just watch in awe of everything that's happening. And of course it has some of the best you know quotes of all time. It's just one of those movies where you can quote almost anything, and it's just one of those things that I think that everyone should watch. Of course, they need to watch the first one first, but if they really want to see how, you know, people do in like their movies where it's like, oh, this guy, he got up in power and then he fell from power. Sure, that's cool and all because it's the same guy. But to be able to get two different characters and somehow make it look like they're the same character in a way, but also showing like their differences and everything, I just think that that was just a phenomenal way of doing it.
It was a good compliment to the first movie.
Yes, exactly.
I like how you didn't even mention at all the third one, Alex. not even a single blip in your entire description about it. You're like, yeah, the first one and the second one are great, but I was like, Alex, what about that third one? Come on. I agree with you totally that the first one and the second one are amazing, but when it comes to sequels and series, that third one for me just, ugh.
I've never seen The Godfather.
Wait, yeah. Godfather, Godfather 2, or Godfather 3?
The first one first. yeah, no, I haven't seen it. I need to.
You need to see those movies. Out,
but hey, take your time with that third one.
Just don't watch it. Don't even acknowledge it.
You can watch the first one today first.
First.
Then you can go watch the second one tomorrow.
Second.
And, you know, eventually.
The third one exists.
Yeah, the third one's there.
If you really want to, like, if you really want to just, you know, push your luck, just watch all three of them at once. And then I hope by the time you get done with the second one, you're so tired that you'll fall asleep during the third one.
Dude, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. I did that in high school. I was, like, trying to, you know, marathon through all three of them, and I couldn't. I kept on falling asleep in that third one.
I did that in Scarface, like that movie I fell asleep in.
I mean, to each of their own, it was a good – it was a good will gesture because it was directed by his daughter, Sofia Coppola. So Francis Coppola, he's directed the first two. And Sofia, you know, she's a great director. She made what was it, Lost in Translation, I believe, with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, like, Tom Hanks is a good director.
Yeah, so she really takes some good stuff from her father, but it just happened to be that I think her very first movie just happened to be The Godfather 3. You know, and it's just one of those things where she was trying to be a lot like her father, mm-hmm. and just doing that for the very first movie just wasn't good. If she would have done that movie, you know, around the time where she was up, you know, like in Lost in Translation, she probably would have done a fantastic job. It's that she just had too much weight on her shoulders.
Or no, Lost in Translation was Bill Murray.
Was it Bill Murray?
Yeah, it was Bill Murray, not Tom Hanks.
She directed it, right?
The Bill Murray.
Like the one and only.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one from Ghostbusters? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she directed, but I'm right. She directed that one, right?
Yes.
I knew it was Lost in Translation. I just couldn't remember Bill Murray, Tom Hanks. But she is a great, fantastic director, and you know, it's just she bit too much off, you know, and she wanted to go and prove that she was like her father, and you know, to each their own. I mean, it's just one of those things. But I agree. I mean, but with The Godfather, it's just one of those. Everybody needs to see The Godfather.
We get it, Alex. Okay. I get the sell.
Hey, Ferris is going to watch it tonight, and if he doesn't, you can call him.
I'm not.
So well, I really want to know what Brad likes. What's your favorite ones?
So my top sequel has to be Spider-Man 2. It's one of those rare movies.
Wait, like the ones that came out with Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
Not the Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, so for that one, it expands on the story from the first, and it continues the character development of Peter Parker mm-hmm. throughout. Not only that, best villain in any Spider-Man movie so far
mm-hmm.
with Electro. Doc Ock.
Doc Ock, yeah.
You're Ferris. Are you confusing Spider-Man 2?
For our listeners, it looks like Ferris has got a stank face. Like he just ate like a lemon or something.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm usually really respectful. Really respectful of a lot of people's opinions, but just, you know, sometimes when they're wrong, it's just to get you.
You don't think Spider-Man 2 was a good sequel?
None of them. With Tobey Maguire again?
Really?
None of them.
Oh, see, I love the Tobey
Maguire. Like, well, I respect your opinion, but that doesn't mean it's correct.
Yeah, for me, it's just one of those perfect kind of sequels of going in a line. It stops at 2. I'm glad that they didn't continue the series on past the second movie.
That was really nice of them.
That was a good call on their part to have a first one and then a second one and then to recast it with Andrew Garfield.
It's the first time I've ever seen a trilogy with two movies.
Yeah.
Brian, I could totally see why you like it, though, because as a movie, it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, by far.
When you pick it out, like the different things like Toby as an actor and all that noise, you know, it's different. But when you see it as a movie as a whole, yeah, it makes sense. And especially as a series, because there's three of them.
Going from Spider-Man to Spider-Man 2, it was solid. You could watch them side by side and it just continues to flow. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like there was this break in between them where you're going, oh, this is a different movie, which you run into with a lot of movies where if you watch the first one and the second one, you can tell where they end. With Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, there's a little bit of that like time skip and everything, but beyond that, you're watching the same movie continued on.
Yeah, I think that Spider-Man 2 was the movie that showed that when Spider-Man and X-Men first came out, they said, okay, we can get good superhero movies. Spider-Man 2 set the bar until Dark Knight came.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And especially with the villain, like I feel like with Homecoming, I really believe that they took a lot of their cues for Michael Keaton's villain from Spider-Man 2. You know, make a very human villain who's relatable. He's human.
Yeah.
He has his motives, but he whether he does bad things is he hasn't for good reasons. And I feel like Homecoming took a lot from Spider-Man 2 when it came to villains. And I definitely agree with you, Brad, that I definitely believe that Doc Ock is definitely one of the best villains in general in a superhero movie.
Oh yeah, by far easily the best one for Spider-Man so far that we have gotten in a movie. Which villain would you say is the best one, Ferris?
Oh, the best villain?
Yeah.
Venom.
Are you talking about Eric from That 70s Show, Venom?
I'm talking about the Mystery Trilogy movie.
You mean the one played by Topher Grace?
That's his name.
Topher Grace. Played by a guy named Topher.
Gopher Grace.
Topher.
Yes.
I'm really hurt by the fact. Not only, and I'm a big fan of James Franco. I'm not against most of his works, but I really don't like him in Spider-Man. I don't like the Spider-Man trilogy at all. I'm not a fan.
That first movie, like Alex said earlier, when people saw that and the money that it made and the popularity that it gained in the franchise and all that stuff, it was the first true point where people saw that, or movie studios saw that, hey, superhero movies can make a lot of money and they're really popular. That set the kind of the gold bar, like Alex was saying, you know, and that's why I understand why you like that so much. It's because that was the first or one of the first movies that were just like quality and made a lot of money. It was really good. And the sequel set the, like, you know, met the expectations.
Yeah. One of those few instances where the sequel manages to be better than the original. Yeah,
I see that.
And we don't see that ever.
Well, no, really. Because it's all diluted now. It's like all aboard the sequel train, you know, in regards to superhero movies. But, you know, they're not going to be as much quality and they're not going to be able to put as much time into, you know, the character development and the plot and all that stuff, because it's now a money-making machine.
Like, even sequels that you can put all bets in going, this is going to be good. Like Kingsman Golden Circle. There was no reason that should have been a bad movie. Yet, somehow, that's what we got.
It's got its issues. Yeah, for sure.
And
I think they're, you know, they could have put a lot more time into these kind of movies, but they knew in essence that it would make money either way. So they didn't have to mesh out the details.
Yeah. And then you get movies that where the first one was so good, it doesn't matter how good the second one is. It's not going to live up to it. Like Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I was about to mention Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Avengers Age of Ultron are very good examples of following something that was not only a big hit with, you know, critics financially and everything, but with audiences, but just consider like that set a really high bar, and it's okay to set a really high bar and then the sequel still be very good, you know, such like Star Trek and stuff like that. But then you get into those movies like that to where they only do just okay.
It's still a fantastic movie, but because the original was just so great, they had no way of living up to it.
Do you – so like let's get a general consensus since you did say Star Trek. Not talking about the movies that happened in the 80s and 90s because those aren't important. To talk about
– The reboots.
Okay. That was actually a really good trilogy.
Yes.
Like, they're still going to keep going with it.
I know. And J.J. Abrams is the only person I trust with that. Don't let Rian – whoever made the second Star Wars movie, or sorry, eighth movie.
The last one was made by the Fast and Furious guy, wasn't it?
No, it was definitely some lens flare.
He's right. Yeah, the Star Trek Beyond was made by one of the guys who did Star Trek. Sorry.
The Star Trek was made by the guy who did Star Trek?
Weird.
Star Trek,
yes. Yes, he did the Fast... Six, I think. Yeah, I think he did six.
Fast and Furious movies, which I kind of liked. So
he must have took that lens flare fetish from J.J. Abrams then.
A tad. He didn't do it. He didn't oversaturate it like J.J.
And you could also you could also tell because they did the same exact move where I think it was Scotty when he jumped out of the car or the ship and then he was, you know, sliding off the cliff and he was hanging by the edge of the cliff. That was straight out of the Fast and Furious movie. Like that was the exact same stunt from Fast and the Furious when he's hanging off the edge of the cliff.
So on a side note, guys, I just want to throw it out there. I'm actually going to start really soon here with Star Trek: The Next Generation. Starting from episode one and going throughout.
I'm so sorry for
all
you.
Seven seasons.
Did you finish the first season? The first series.
Which ones? The one with
the original.
No,
William
the originals.
Because I thought you said you were watching it.
I've been watching actually a 24/7 channel of TNG, which is The Next Generation, and I've just been catching them, you know, on the side every night before I go to bed. But I've decided I'm going to watch them all in sequence. You know, from season through seven. Yeah, it's bold. Well,
we'll see you on the next podcast in 2030.
Yeah, and I'm going to do that as well as I'll probably try to poke around and try to watch all the Star Wars – or not Star Wars. That's another one we need to talk about, but Star Trek series movies. Mm-hmm. Again, I think I've seen like 1 through 5, but I need to see all the rest of them in order. So I'm going to become slowly a Trekkie, you know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll miss you.
It's all good.
Star Wars did the smart thing, and with all that extra crap that they made, they said it's not canon.
It's not canon.
Yeah, it's all stories. Yeah,
no, Star Trek, that's all canon.
I know. It's all canon. Someone it's all
battle
lore.
I
love the rabbit holes that I fall into for the crazy things that I'm searching on.
Rabbit Canyon.
Yeah. That's one thing that I always found hilarious when people are like, oh, my God, Star Trek versus Star Wars. It's hard to compare them because Star Trek has – well over 500 hours of content
easily
against Star Wars is I let's see here there's
eight movies
plus a TV show or two TV shows.
Yeah.
It's
like I would say a collective 100 hours.
I was gonna say let's ballpark 100 hours. It's still not even close.
But they got to the point in 100 hours. They're still looking for 500.
They get to the point for sure.
That's very true. But then we have those horrible, horrible sequels.
Oh, yeah.
Like Anchorman 2.
That wasn't that bad.
Did you see the same Anchorman 2 everybody else saw?
No, I saw the
I never saw that movie.
Okay, I saw the better one.
I was in L.A. for that one, and I went to – I remember the experience, but I don't remember the movie.
Because, as you should.
Yeah, I went to L.A., and I was sightseeing downtown L.A. and Hollywood and stuff. And we went to the Chinese theater, you know, over there. And that was the only movie that was really playing that we all my friends wanted to see. So we saw it. And I remember being in the theater and like watching it, but I do not remember like a single thing about that movie. You know, I remember the experience, but not seeing it.
Yeah, because I remember that was one thing that Will Ferrell always was like, I'm never going to do a sequel. It's never going to happen. And then he was like, fine, I'll do one for Anchorman. Everybody's like, yeah, this is going to be great. Movie comes out and everybody's like, that was bad. You shouldn't have done that. You should stick to not sequels.
I think he's been I don't think he's doing any more.
He had a couple more.
Daddy, wasn't he in Daddy's Home too?
Yeah, he was.
Too. Yeah, because he just did Daddy's Home too.
I think he's a bit resistant more, you know.
No, that was just like four months ago.
No, yeah, that but was like a couple months ago. That's a money train for sure, that one. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg? Yeah. Come on.
So
and I
Mel Gibson?
Yeah, this one with Mel Gibson. Yeah, where Mel Gibson is the father of he's the father of Mark Wahlberg's character.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, he's the actor. He's the father of Mark Wahlberg, and then Will Ferrell's dad is I don't remember his name, but he's the guy that played the bad guy in Dexter.
It's funny. I don't know names, but he's the dude from The Third Rock from the Sun, the old guy, right?
Yeah,
I haven't seen that show, so I can't come on, right?
He played Barney's dad in How I Met Your Mother. That's what I remember. Barney's dad from How I Met Your Mother.
We've listed three places that he's done work in, but we can't figure out the name.
In theory, somebody will be like, hey, it was this guy. We'll be like, okay, I believe you.
It's like, you remember when we were talking about Marvel movies like a couple years back? And I was like, that old guy in all the movies, you're like, Stan Lee.
Yeah. You still have lost your nerd card for that one.
That's pretty bad. Speaking of a sequel that I will be fought over this, by the way. This is one that a lot of people don't talk about the Fast and Furious movies, especially don't talk about the first couple, especially. Those are some of the sacred ones that people like to consider. I wasn't a fan of Too Fast, Too Furious.
I agree. I agree. I kind of agree.
Was that the second one?
Yeah.
I like two in it twice.
Well, they kind of made up later on in the series.
No.
Really?
No. Like
I like the ones that
it literally went first movie. Oh, I'm Brian O'Connor. I'm kind of a cop, but I also love fast cars. And I'm just going to become friends with all the fast car guys and then do dumb stuff with them in the movie. Then the second movie comes around. Hey, you're a cop. You have to be a bad guy. And you better snitch on them.
Yeah,
in undercover. In really, really bad cars. Considering the movie, how we started first, like, what is it? Dominic Toretto, he drove a 1978 Dodge Challenger. Brian O'Connor drove a GTR Skyline, which is incredibly hard to find. And then he drove it in the beginning of the second movie. But then after that, they started using that really ugly Eclipse. This is the ugliest version of the Eclipse that ever existed. Then, speaking of a good sequel right after it, Tokyo Drift.
I love Tokyo Drift.
That was a good sequel.
That was the first one I actually saw.
That was a spinoff, wasn't it?
No, it's a sequel.
It's a sequel. It ties in.
Really timed in parallel.
Technically, Tokyo Drift is the last movie.
Han was in Japan, and that occurred at the same time they were in the U.S. Yeah,
no, yeah, because technically, Tokyo Drift is the last movie because Han dies because he's still alive, obviously, throughout most of the movies. Yeah,
I don't know. I liked it later on in the series, like when they started getting, especially 7.
4 was really bad. Seven. It was called Fast.
4 was horrible.
Yeah, it was like Fast and Furious 2, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift, and then The Fast and Furious, I think is the fourth movie or what it's called.
Yep.
I can tell you I've watched it like 4 times and I only remember them driving in the desert and that's it.
They drove in the desert?
Yes. A lot.
I just remember that was the movie where they supposedly killed off Michelle Rodriguez. That's the only thing I remember. And that was the movie that Gal Gadot was introduced in. That's all I remember from that movie.
Oh.
I need to watch it again.
Gal Gadot. Yeah. Oh, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Wonder Woman. Yeah. She was introduced in that
Wonder
movie.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Did you forget who she was?
Like I said, I don't know There's names. No reason. I just know what they
There's
acted.
There's no reason at this point. You don't even get a pass on that one. That's almost as bad as not knowing who Stan Lee is at this point.
Stan Lee is still way above that.
That's why I said almost. It's like, you know, maybe 4 steps below.
I'm terrible with names, folks.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was never a fan of any of the Fast and Furious movies.
They're like... Out of the 8 that we're going to have, because I think there's an 8th one that's happening soon.
Probably.
There's a good 5 movies. Like, there's only, like, a couple movies that were just, eh. But, like, every other one of them, if you like cars at all, If you have driven down the road and saw some Michigan,
if you're a gearhead, it's a movie for you.
A gearhead, yes. But if you've ever seen a car and it zoomed past you and you were just like, I want one of those, that's the movie for you. It doesn't even, you don't even have to know what you're doing because they don't understand either. They shift a lot of times in cars that don't do that.
Or you should just watch Top Gear.
No. No.
No.
I'm not a fan of Top Gear because they have some really bad opinions on cars.
Hey, you know what was a good movie that I liked too? That was the second one was as good as the first one, in my personal opinion, was Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
I was going to bring that up. It was like my favorite ones.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
I was surprised to see that the second one would be as good as the first one, but it was.
Didn't they have a third one? And a fourth?
Well, I know they had
I think they had four.
Is that another one of those magical trilogies with only two movies?
Yeah, no, yeah, it definitely had two movies.
Oh, Ferris, the one you wanted to bring up, Blade.
Oh, yeah. 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 The last thing Wesley Snipes did before he got bitten by his taxes.
We're forgetting about the biggest one, Lord of the Rings. The original Lord of the Rings.
We can forget about it.
Yeah, I
how? It was like 20 hours long.
That's like talking about like Harry Potter. You know what I mean? It's just like. It's like seven of them. I don't know.
Yeah, there are actually six movies.
Eight movies.
Six of them. Yeah, I was going to say there's six movies compared to Harry Potter's should have been seven, but they split the last movie into two. So, yeah, how that works.
Yeah, during that trend. Oh, and then.
It's called Dollar Dollar Bills, y'all.
Yeah.
What was the other movie that stupidly Hunger Games?
Hunger Games. Yeah.
The Maze Runner.
Twilight. Did it.
Maze Runner. Yeah.
Maze Runner. Maze Runner didn't do it. Just break it up and it did. Into part one and part two.
You know what's getting a sequel and I didn't expect it? Deep Blue Sea.
Isn't that a shark movie or something?
Yes.
That was the one that had Samuel Jackson in it, right?
Getting eaten by a shark.
Always a movie that comes out every couple of years with that formula.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this is a direct sequel to it like 20 years later.
Just like how we got like Jaws movies that we didn't need.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaws only had one movie. It's weird.
Yeah. It's another one of those trilogies, but it's a trilogy with only one movie. It's strange.
Funny enough, we actually have a sequel coming out here in about a month, Super Troopers. Oh, Super Troopers 2.
Yes.
On April 20th, yeah.
That was a lot of ones that a lot of people were asking for. We're going to see how that turns out, but
that was funded. Indiegogo or Kickstarter funded?
Yeah, there was like a top spot in it too. If you paid $40,000, they give you one of the squad cars they filmed.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice.
Nice.
You know, speaking of like I guess indie titles that have really great sequels, Clerks 2.
Yes. Well, basically everything Kevin Smith touches is gold. Even the movies that everybody hates, I've loved them.
Hmm? Chasing Amy exists.
That was a good movie.
We're doing this.
I guess so.
I was not a fan. I was really not a fan of that movie.
Well, hold on.
Chasing Amy?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Tusk, though? Watch Tusk.
I actually haven't seen Dogma or Tusk, so I can't speak on them.
Okay, you definitely had to see Dogma. Tusk is...
Tusk, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was Kevin Smith's version of the Human Centipede, basically.
Ooh. Yeah, it had Daniel Radcliffe was the main lead. He had horns. Very dark at the end.
No, you're thinking of another movie.
Daniel Radcliffe. I heard of him in literally two movies.
Yeah,
him as an anti-Semite, and another one him being.
No,
weird.
It was Justin Long, the I'm a Mac guy.
What am I thinking of?
Yeah.
You're thinking of Horns, which was the UK movie with Daniel Radcliffe, where he turns into the devil.
Oh, okay.
Completely different movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I was hoping that we would get like a Mallrats 2 and stuff.
In. Yeah,
I love the Rocky series.
Mm. Yeah, I like going punching too.
Yeah, I like boxing.
Cool. Was it? It's weird. That trilogy had three movies. It actually had three movies.
What do you know?
Weird.
and then a spinoff.
Like five more Rocky movies. I think seven. I wanna say.
Is that counting Creed?
There's at least five, yeah, and then there's like a couple Creed. Spinoffs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 2 was pretty good.
I noticed that we haven't talked much about scary movies. There's so many sequels when it comes to scary movies.
The problem with scary movies.
We could talk a whole podcast on just those alone.
Oh, yeah.
Is a lot of those are just money grabs of.
They're just spoof movies, so I don't really consider them as something. They've already gotten their money. They're limelight. Yeah.
They don't even care anymore.
It's interesting how sequels work in the movie industry. Oftentimes, you know, let's say if the first movie was a $300 million budget movie, they eventually make their money back and plus the profit. What they do is they reinvest the profits into the sequel, but they generally fund 50% or slightly more for the sequel of what it is. So let's say if it's $300 million, they expect to spend, let's say, $150 to $200 million on the next movie.
That's what Deadpool was.
To spend than that. When you have like a $300 million movie, most times they're not going to spend another $300 million on the second one or the third one or the fourth one. They know in their minds that they're going to spend less and less going forward, no matter which movie it is or which franchise. Mm-hmm. Something that I've noticed as a trend.
Yeah, what is it? Deadpool. I'm curious to see how that's going to go because, I mean, I thought Deadpool 1 was great. It was actually a pretty funny movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really wondering if it's going to be funny or if it's just going to be a bunch of dick jokes again.
It's got Ryan Reynolds in the writer's room still, so a bunch of dick jokes.
Okay, good.
Guarantee it.
You know, my Detective Pikachu movie better have at least one dick joke because Ryan Reynolds in it. He better do something.
It depends. Is he writing anything in the movie?
I'm pretty sure he's writing his name on the script.
Just circling his name every time it appears in the script. Like, just, this is me. Ooh,
Ryan Reynolds. Hey,
and he's
me.
Like, and in it, he's like the only person that could talk like to the other person that can understand him, right? Nobody else can understand him.
Yeah, because that Pikachu is considered, like, he's not like Meowth, where Meowth could speak English. He's like, that trainer has schizophrenia. He thinks his Pikachu is talking, but it kind of is for story's sake. But nobody can hear it.
Please tell me that he's also the only one that can see it wearing a detective's hat.
That would be Deerstalker.
It reminds me of that TV show Wilfred with the dog.
It's actually a lot like
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, with Elijah Wood.
It's a lot like Wilfred, except like the Pikachu is wearing the hat. He is getting into these troubled situations. It's just like he's just like, Pikachu, we can't do that. And Pikachu's like, I'm going to do what I want. And just you're here. Pikachu can't do that. Pika, Pika. I was like, man, he's having an intense conversation with that Pikachu.
Watch me.
You better get him back in his ball. So, who knows?
But, yeah, there's a lot of sequels to movies. We could go on
It's a great thing to talk about because you know that's the world that we live in now, that everything is a sequel.
Well, even movies that think they're going to get a sequel – like the new Ghostbusters that had that like teaser at the end going, we're going to get a sequel. And that didn't work out for them.
Speaking of sequels that are happening, Avatar 2 and 3 are already a thing.
Oh, don't worry.
And 4 and 5.
I was going to say.
4 and 5.
And they're simultaneously filming them all at the same time.
So wait, we're getting ready to have a quintilogy?
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, they already said all the next four movies have a combined, I think – a billion. They're being made for a billion for a combined budget for all four. So about all four, we get about $250 million budget already.
Yeah. Where's they already James have $1 billion set away.
This is probably the best story. I'll try and summarize it the best I can.
Okay.
He was working on the second movie. Uh-huh. He got sidetracked during it. Ended up making too long of a movie. They had to split it into two movies.
Okay.
While he was waiting for that to be made, he continued writing another movie.
He's like the kid that kept telling him no. And he's like, Okay, yeah.
Here's my favorite quote from South Park about James Cameron. James Cameron doesn't do what James Cameron doesn't want to. Oh, crap. I ruined it. It's like
James Cameron does because James Cameron is James Cameron.
Yeah, it's like James Cameron doesn't do what James Cameron does because he's James Cameron. James Cameron does what James Cameron does because he is James Cameron.
Yeah. So, yeah. Originally, he was just making a sequel, and now it's turned into five movies that are all being filmed at the same time.
And the movies companies are like, yeah, we'll just throw a straight bill at it, and here you go.
Yeah, basically, they're going, oh, yeah, the guy that made Avatar and the Titanic, here's a blank check. Oh, you're going to make more movies from the – oh, no, we didn't expect that.
And the fact that it's not that it just has a release year. It has a release date. Like, I'm looking at Avatar 2, and it's like, what is it? Avatar – because I was scrolling down the list of, like, sequels, and it's like Avatar 2, December 18th, 2020. And then I look at Avatar 3, December 17th, 2021. It's like, what?
Don't worry. I believe there's dates for 4 and 5 as well. Avatar came out in 2009, right?
Nine.
Yep. So
it'll be 11 years. It's the Kingdom Hearts of sci-fi movies.
But the worst part is it's 11-year gap between 1 and 2 and then a 1-year gap between 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. What is it? And like it says that Zoe Saldana, Sam Worthington, Sigourney Weaver all signed on. Of course they are, because the movie is worth like $1 billion.
Who wouldn't re-sign for that movie?
You can literally just be like, hey. And then you made a million.
I'd like to think that they've all been sitting around waiting for the sequel to be made, just going, hey, is the script done yet? Oh, almost. And I have the third one ready. The third one? Hold on a minute.
I just want to be the bagel boy for this.
You'd have a job for like 5 years straight.
Yeah, it's like, what'd your dad do for a living? Well, hear me out, son. He paid for your college by being the coffee runner for James Cameron during all 5 Avatar movies. How long did you do that? 12 years.
Oh. No, 15 years.
Hey, I want to know all your opinions about the Matrix trilogies.
Mm.
The first one was good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm glad they stopped there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. It was a good choice.
Yeah.
I don't know what's with all these movies stopping at one.
There's some weird glitch in the Matrix system that, I don't know, I think the first one is where it ended.
Yeah. It's like, I know there's a part in a hypothetical second one that I may have thought up myself and some other studio might have stolen it.
I even think there's like a
it.
Cartoonish type of anime.
Yeah,
type of
the
thing.
Animatrix kind of filled in the gaps a little bit.
It wasn't in a movie called Equilibrium. Wasn't that technically
tied to
it?
Oh, yeah, that was with
–
Yes. Oh,
the dude in Dark Knight. There you go. I
yeah.
Christian Bale.
Yeah. It was like it's tied to it, but it's not.
Same universe, no, not same story.
It's like
kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just like I like the idea of virtual reality. Hey, we're getting in on this. Also, you can die in there. Wait, what?
Hey, we got a Wreck-It Ralph sequel coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about the sequels coming out this year. I don't even know. But
well, we talked about Deadpool.
A little bit.
And yeah. Super.
Jurassic World, Wreck-It Ralph, Incredibles 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some good ones this year, guys.
Incredibles 2 is on the same scale of how long it took for Avatar 2.
Well, they did the same thing.
He must have been on the same coffee break with James Cameron as they were writing.
Pixar does that with certain movies like Monsters Inc. Mm-hmm. When the kids
Finding Nemo.
It was like 11 years for that. Finding Nemo was ooh.
Because they knew that the people that watched it, the children that watched it
are grown up and they
are grown up and finally going to school or university, so they're watching something that kind of ties with them.
Okay. Yeah, because Toy Story did the same thing. Yeah. So was it Toy Story came out 10 years after Toy Story 2?
Yeah, it was like the phases of Andy. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, yeah, and then we have Toy Story 4 coming as well.
Yeah, with Andy's sister.
But I can't remember what the plot is.
I don't know if Incredibles 2, because Jack is still a baby.
Yeah, it's literally
it's like 5 minutes after the end
so
of Incredibles.
Nothing ever happened.
I just want to know what happened with the digger. He
disappeared.
No. I want to know if he destroyed the city. I never will know.
I'd like to think that during the writing process, they forgot what they ended the first movie with.
No, he better have taken care of that city, and it better be flat. If I start that movie, it's not flat, I'm going to be pissed.
But that is all the time that we have here on The Breakfast Table. But as always, you can catch our backlog of episodes on iTunes and Google Play. You can catch us on our website at 8bitwaffles.com. Also, you can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for 8bitwaffles. Until next time, this is The Breakfast Table.